shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening, this is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries, welcoming you to another one of our first of the month live Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. For being heard tonight over radio station WWCR on two different transmitters, 4.840 megahertz and 3.215 megahertz. That's transmitter 3 and transmitter 1. And also on shortwave station WBCQ at 7.490 megahertz. Both of those radio stations do have an internet link that you can listen over the internet or on those frequencies I mentioned. Or you can go to our radio page at kingidentity.com. That's our website. And then go to the radio page and you'll see links for those stations plus a live link directly from our page. The Bible was written only to, for, and about the chosen seed line of the white Adamic race. And within the scripture, there is definitely a salvation and a condemnation message written to our people Israel. This is a subject that's not generally addressed by those who understand our heritage as Israelites, although Pastor Compre placed emphasis on this in his sermon, Is It Merely Enough to Be an Israelite, which we played last week, and perhaps you heard that broadcast. However, it's an important topic that we will be dealing with on tonight's program. My guest is a Bible scholar that I greatly respect and a minister of many years who started as a denominational preacher and now teaches our identity and the responsibilities as Israelites, God's true chosen race, which should act like it. And I'd like to welcome back to the broadcast Pastor Everett Ramsey.
Thank you. It's good to be with you, Mike, and always look forward to being on your broadcast. And certainly the subject matter is one of importance. I never have believed that we as humans have the power to prevent God from doing anything he wants to do. But at the same time, we have some responsibilities that he's given us, and if we don't perform those as his chosen people and as his elect people, there are penalties to be paid and blessings to be lost. So that is a problem with many of our people. Some people think that if they're an Israelite, then everything is just hunky-dory. They can do whatever they want to do, and they are going to be fine. But I would remind them that when Jesus was here, it's recorded in Luke chapter 13 and verse 6, about a parable he spake of a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? Right there, it's very obvious that a tree, the fig tree, is a picture of Israel, as well as the vineyard, and as well as the olive tree. Certainly the fig tree did also have a picture of unbelieving and wicked and ungodly people within the camp of the Israelites. But not all of them. Some of them were Israelites. And if they were not obedient, if they didn't produce fruit, they could be removed from the ground, which means they would have been taken out of the book of the living. And Moses offered that. He's, when he had his little fuss with God over the Israelites, not going to forgive them, just take my name out of the book of the living. And the Lord said, I'll decide who I take out and who I don't take out. But it's clear.
Pardon me, Pastor Ramsey, you're breaking up a little bit. If you could move in a location or speak a little better into the
Well, PC. I'm on a landline. I'm hoping that it works better, but anyway, we'll try to speak
yeah,
up
that
and try to
better.
Keep it.
That sounds
okay.
Better.
Anyway, the Lord is telling the apostles that the tree that does not produce can be removed. And so being an Israelite or being a fig tree does not necessarily protect you from those negative clauses in the law and those things which take our joy, take our blessing. You know, it's the same if we don't obey the laws of God. The Lord has no reason for us here. The gospel of the kingdom is our job. We are to be putting the laws of God into effect into our lives, into our families, and into our organizations, our churches, our groups, and also into our country. This is where we've lost it in America, as God's people have failed to obey God's law in these areas. And we're paying a price. We are losing people. People are dying because of it, and there are more that are going to be dying. If we disobey the food laws of God, our lives can be cut short because we die of the sickness that's brought upon us. The certain man here is God or Christ who planted the fig tree. And Hosea 9 says, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time. And then he makes a statement and says, but they went in after Baal Peor and separated themselves unto that shame, and their abominations were according as they loved. And we know by history and by reading about our Israelite forefathers that people who followed after other gods were many times killed. There were 35,000 on one occasion. Another was 25,000. Another was 14,000. So the Lord allowed certain things to happen when people do not follow the Lord and repent of sin and walk in His ways. I told my church this morning, my group that I spoke to in Mountain Home, Arkansas, I told them that we had certain responsibilities before God. And one is that we are supposed to hear the Holy Spirit when He convicts us of our sinfulness. And number two is we're supposed to name the sin, repent from it, and turn away from it. And number three is we're to ask forgiveness and to become learners and disciples and to be baptized and to follow the Lord. That is our obligation. You know, Brother Mike, one of the things that I find many times is that when people want to kind of argue with me about some of these things, they say, well, why do you think that we shouldn't do such and such or go such and such or be such and such? And I always quote the scriptures. John did it in Revelation. And also in other places, the Lord said we were going to be a nation of priests and kings. Well, I would ask everybody to go back into the Old Testament and read the laws that God put down for priests and kings. And He said kings shall not multiply wives. He said priests had to marry a certain kind of woman. They couldn't just marry any kind of woman. And they had to raise their children in a certain way. And the kings couldn't multiply horses and go to war. They had to do... The Lord gave a whole series of laws that applies to priests and kings. And if we're going to be priests and kings and a kingdom of priests and kings, we're going to have to obey those laws. And I don't know anybody that's really teaching those laws today at all. At least I'm not aware of it. So if anybody knows of someone who is, I'd love to read their writings or their sermons on the subject because I think it's very necessary and very
needed. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Absolutely. Well, that's a great verse where the Lord is saying not to be conformed to this world. What I would like to know is if people put their children into public schools, which their job is to conform those minds to the world. Today, they're conforming them to accept the LGBT schedule and the homosexual schedule and the lesbian schedule, and they're teaching them to accept the socialism and communism and all kinds of things that the world takes that God says we are not supposed to be involved in. So parents ought to find a way to train their children in the Lord, either in homeschools or private schools or whatever. That's just one example. There are many examples of God's people not obeying him and following him, but they're conforming their minds to the world. If your children are brought up on a high level of these technology games and TV and movies and the world's music, they're going to have a very hard time living for God. They're going to be conformed to the world. And that's why our people fall in the trap of disobeying God and doing the things that are not willful to him and certainly not his will for us. So I teach our people, and I hope that all other preachers, and I think many of them do, but I tell our people we have to have an experience with the Lord. We have to come to the place where we want to have our sins forgiven, to live according to his law, ask forgiveness, be baptized. You know, baptism really was a rite that was given to the priest when he became a priest. Jesus was baptized when he entered the priesthood. That's why he was baptized. He became the high priest. We can't become the high priest, but even the priests were put through a washing or a baptizing in the Old Testament to show them that they were to go to work. And our people need that. They need to be obedient to that.
Well, Scripture talks about us putting off the old corrupt man and becoming a new creature over in Ephesians and Corinthians, and walking in the newness of life, that's over in Romans, and is spiritual rebirth, that's John and Peter, First Peter, and other places. And a lot of our people just aren't doing that. And you wrote a great book, Racial Difference More Than Skin Deep, which we publish, and you point out that our race is trichotomous, body, soul, and spirit, an implanted pre-existent spirit. But if that spirit has not been quickened by the Holy Spirit, we're not all that much different than the pre-Adamic dichotomous races who are only body and soul.
Absolutely. Well, I agree with that. And, of course, there's always been the debate between what's called the Arminians and the Calvinists who say, well, is it up to me to get my spirit quickened or is it up to God? Well, I think it's up to God. But I think God does that in his own timing for his people. I don't think the Lord has any of his people that he hasn't come to them and given them opportunity to have their spirit quickened if they are in the right frame of mind and if they're willing. We have a lot of people who God presses with conviction, and with and word conviction means that they have a sorrow and a stress over their sins. And God brings that to their mind, and they're concerned about it. And they know that they need to yield to God and to obey God, and that they struggle against him and fight against him and want their own way. I remember not too many weeks ago, I was talking with a gentleman, and he was talking about, we were talking about the wheat and the tares. And he said, well, I know who the tares are, and he was referring, of course, to the cursed seed line and all of that. And he said, we need to go pull them out and get them out. And I said, no, that's not what the Lord said. The Lord said to leave them in, because if we tear them out, we tear out a lot of God's wheat. So people, that's the kind of attitude, though, that some people have, is that they're going to go do their thing, even though God may not want them to do it the way they want to do it. So we need to learn how to use God's tools. We need to use God's warrior tools that he's given us. We have, of course, you've heard my teaching on imprecatory prayer and how God has used that and still uses that. And our people need to become proficient in those weapons of warfare for the spiritual side of our lives. But they can't do it if they're not yielded to the Lord and living in righteousness and obedience to God. And you've pointed out very well that if we're living in corruption and our lives are full of sin, we're not going to be usable to the Lord. In our day and time, when you go to court, that's called coming with clean hands. If you come to the court of divine justice and you want to use the imprecatory prayer, your hands are not clean. You're a sinner in active sin against God. He's not going to answer that prayer. In fact, it may backfire against you. So people of God need to come to repentance. They need to know what sin is. Sin is a violation of the law, is a transgression of the law of God. And we need to examine our lives daily and ask God to forgive us. We need to have a soft heart toward the Holy Spirit in that matter.
I agree completely. I forgot to give our call-in number at the top of the broadcast. So if there's anybody who would like to join us tonight, our toll-free number is 877-924-7722. You can remember that by 877-YAWS-RACE, 877-924-7722. We're certainly should be putting on the mind of Christ. That's what we're here to do, is rule the world in righteousness, and we can't do it if our own spirit is unclean.
Right. Well, that's exactly right. And I spent the first probably 25 or 30 years of my ministry in Baptist churches. And when I started out as a young man, the churches were fairly clean. But today, we've got way too much sin in the churches. We've got people who are in pulpits and on boards and in deacon leadership and so forth, and their lives are a mess. Some of them are alcoholics. Some of them are drug users. Some of them have become whoremongers, and some of them are involved in so many other sins that the church is powerless. The church is so powerless today because they've accepted the world into the churches. They've accepted their sin. They've accepted their lifestyle. They've accepted everything they do. And God didn't tell us to go out and make friends with the lost or the unsaved or the people who are wicked. He said to go out and to preach the gospel of the kingdom of repentance and faith and hope and belief in the Lord, and then call them to repentance. And that's what we need. We need the Lord to give us a revival in our churches. That's what we need.
Well, he told us to come out from among them and be ye separate. And also over in 2 Corinthians, he tells us to not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?
Absolutely. Well, and I believe that's not only talking about it includes race, but it includes a lot of other things. Our people have hooked up with the wrong people, and they can't serve the Lord. I know several couples that have made that kind of a bad decision where they had had a marriage into a, one of the partners is not a Christian. One is not even of the Adamic race, and the children don't have a good spirit, and they go astray. One of the things that I probably counsel more people about and have for the last 30 years is people who say, well, I try to teach my children right, but they just, when they get to be 12 or 13, they just go out into the world and do what they want to do. They run away from home or they do things they shouldn't do, and they live wicked lives. Well, that's because you've allowed them to grow up inside of the culture of the public school and the government schools and the world culture, and you haven't kept them separated. You can't take these young, tender tomato plants and plant them out in the freezing cold and expect them to survive. And yet that's what we do with our children. They take these young, tender children and put them in with children who are not of the Lord and people who are not of the Lord, and putting them in systems that teach other than the Lord, and we wonder why they don't serve the Lord. Well, that's very common. And it's something that parents just, Brother Mike, I just have to tell you, I'm flabbergasted. I'm confused, and I'm very distraught many times why parents can't see through what they're doing with their own children. Maybe it's because their own spirit is not right. I'm not sure. And that may be that their own heart
is not right. I've even seen parents who homeschool, and then they let their kids watch TV, and all that trash goes into their head, and then they let them play with the little heathen and associate with them.
So you're exactly right. I had the editor of the paper here ask me one time. He says, "Well, you tell people they shouldn't let their children play in the homes and of other races, and the other races play in your homes." And I said, "That's right." And they said, he said, "Why?" I said, "Well, how are you going to keep them from marrying each other and falling in love and all of that if you allow them to think of each other as being of the same source? Our children are from God, and the others are not necessarily from God. So there's a difference in that, and our children go the wrong way because we exactly do what you say. We try to teach them at home and then let them watch TV, listen to rock music, go to the movies, go out to hang around with the kids who are drinking and drugging and doing all kinds of things that are not right. So it's a struggle. It's a struggle to get the people inside of our own churches and inside of our own groups to see where they're making their mistakes. And I am very grateful that among our people, currently, the people we have here in our group in Houston, Missouri, and the people in Mountain Home and in Branson area, that we have at least three or four families who have children who are doing it right, and their children are really, really great kids, and they love the Lord, and they serve the Lord, and they do the right things. But there's a lot of them that aren't there. And in our next national conference, we're hoping to be able to bring one of these families on to give a lesson on some of the things they can do to help raise kids in the right way. But that's another story. That's just part of the story. The Bible is very clear that we are supposed to separate ourselves from the world. We're supposed to separate ourselves from the wickedness of the wicked. And we're not supposed to make friends. It says we're not even supposed to sit down and eat with the wicked. So we're not supposed to fellowship with them. And we're not supposed to let our lives become entangled into the mesh of the world and the worldliness that draws us away from God. That's what tempts us and causes us to sin and live in the wrong way.
I remember a sermon that you gave a number of years ago, and you pointed out that the Mennonites, and I guess the Amish, they come out from among us, or among the world, and be separate, and you can see the difference. They don't necessarily have correct theology, but our people a lot of times look just like the world. They act like the world, and they dress like the world and everything else. They think like the world, and I think that our people, of all people, should come out in our mannerisms, not just thought only.
Yes, and you brought up a point that's a real stickler with me. I believe that the people, our people, especially, even people in our own groups, they wear all kinds of rings in their body, and they have all kinds of tattoos, and they have all kinds of shaggy hair, and they have all kinds of cuts on themselves, and they wear clothing that's so revealing, and all of that is just totally obnoxious to the Word of God. And yet we don't have any preachers who stand up and point out why all of this is wrong. They just, you're right, the Mennonites and the Amish may look real weird to us and to our people and say, "Well, I don't know if I want to dress that way." Well, I don't think you have to. But I think that there needs to be a distinctness between God's people and the worldly people. And you can't do that when you walk up to the counter at McDonald's and the little girl behind the desk has got two or three rings in her nose and got several in her cheek and got some on her hand and some in her ears. And, you know, the rings in the ears for a wife, I don't think that's a, I've never seen that as a problem as long as it's handled in a modest way. But the rest of these rings, I know when I was a manager at McDonald's many years ago, I had a fellow who worked for me, and he said, I've got over 75 rings in my body under my clothing. I said, well, good, keep them there. I said, I don't want to see them, and I don't want anybody else to see them. But how can you torture your body and still be a godly person, you know? The Lord gave us these bodies, and we're supposed to use them for His glory, and they should show His glory. I can't prove this, Brother Mike, but maybe you can, or maybe you can straighten me out. But I've always said that God created His people white because white is the color of righteousness, and the Lord wears a white robe and gives us a white robe of righteousness. And I think that the fact that we're white is reminds the other people about God, and that's why they don't like us. I think that's why they hate us. I think that that when they see the white, they think about God and that they're not part of that kinship. And for some reason, they're upset about that. But
it could be. Antifa certainly acts like that. You mentioned the dress. Of course, there's a lot of Mennonites around this area, and they do dress modestly.
Right,
but there's
right.
something beyond the dress. It's that there's a sweet spirit about them.
Yes.
And that's something that a lot of our people don't have. They have a very antagonistic type spirit against righteousness.
Yes. Well, I agree with that. I've met many people who are antagonistic. They're always trying to pick a fight. And if they have to talk to a person in the government, they go in prepared to fight rather than to be amenable. And I'm not saying by that we ought to give in on everything or we ought not to have a stand or take a stand. I'm just saying that we don't have to get mad or we don't have to yell and scream and curse and swear at everybody just to show that we don't like the government. I think that's a lot of people are in that ball game. And I think that's a very negative effect on our ability to outreach to other people. And I think you're right. I like the Mennonites in our area. That they do. You're right. They have a sweet spirit. You go by their home and you see the girls and the ladies out there in these long dresses and bonnets and everything, driving zero turn lawnmowers and tractors and working in the gardens and everything. They're trying to do something right. I don't think they're trying to shove anything down our throat or make us think they're more righteous than we are, but they're trying to do something right. I think that's much better than somebody who's going to go out and show off all of their nudity and expose their bodies to the world. Because that's obnoxious to the scriptures and that's obnoxious to the Holy Spirit. And it turns people away from the truth, in my opinion. So you're right. I think there's one of the problems is the spirit as well as the dress is a problem. And I keep telling our people, learn to smile, learn to say thank you and please and to be, learn to hold your temper and learn to ask questions and learn to communicate in a way that people don't feel like you're attacking them. And that would help a lot. As I wish that we had more study on that in many of our churches.
Tonight's broadcast is on the subject of salvation, and we need salvation in this world from all the unrighteousness that's taking
Absolutely.
Place. And our people need to turn from that. Certainly, the heavenly kingdom is perfect, and we don't need our salvation once we enter that. But I would like to address another subject that is often taught in our circles and get your thoughts. Romans 11:26 says, all Israel shall be saved. And if you look a few verses above it, you'll see in verse 24 and above that it's talking about the wild olive being grafted back into the good olive tree, the 10 northern tribes being grafted back into the southern kingdom of Judah. And I believe it means that all 12 tribes will be saved. Some people take that as every last individual shall be saved. What is your take on that?
Well, first of all, I'll have to say that I haven't been in this as long as some of you. I've been in the teaching of the kingdom message for 35 years, but I know there's some of you folks that have been in it longer. I've generally taken, I believe that it meant all of the Israelites would be saved. But I do agree that it also includes all the tribes. I know it's that much. I'm hoping it's the other part. And the reason, let me just say for a moment why I tend to believe that it means all of Israel. If you go into Acts chapter 15 and you go to Romans 8, you read about what is going on now, what God is doing now. And it says in Acts chapter 15 that he is taking out of the dispersed Israelites or out of the Gentile nations, he's taking out a people for his name. And I believe that has to do with him putting together the people who are going to be kings and priests and rule with him. The whole kingdom is not going to rule. The kingdom is not, everybody that's an Israelite is not going to be a ruler. Only those that he has called and put in that position and brought them to salvation in this life and given them training and they have been obedient to him, in my understanding, that they will be a part of that ruling part. But I believe that there will be other times when the Lord will bring the rest of Israel to a place. You have to stop and ask yourself this question. And I've asked this question many times, is that why did I come to the Lord when I did? Did I do something? Did I get up one morning and say, you know, I think I'll come and become a Christian? No, I didn't do that. I came to the Lord because the Lord reached down and touched me and my heart when I was younger and gave me the conviction of my sins and taught me to believe him and trust him and brought me to the place where I was willing to say, yes, Lord, I want to live for you. I was baptized and later surrendered to preach and those kind of things. Now, if we cannot come to the Lord without him calling us, then he has put himself in the place of redeeming all of Israel. He died for, he said, for every man or every Adamite, every Israelite. And it's up to him to call them to a place of repentance and faith. He does not do that at all in the same age and during the same time. My granddaddy was a deacon in what they used to call the old Hardshell Baptist Church down in Arkansas. He was, my folks came out of Waldron, south of Fort Smith. And they did not send anybody, they did not spend one penny on missions. And they asked him, why is that? He said, God knows where his children are. He's made provision for their salvation, and he will bring them to it in his own time. I think he's closer to the truth than all these people who are trying to push missions. And, I can be taught differently. I don't know that I'm perfect and knowledgeable in this subject, but I believe that the Lord will bring all of his people to a place of repentance and bring them all to a place of faith at some point, at some place. And when you go to Revelation 20 and you see the judgment where they're looking for names on the book of life, they're not really looking for Israelites. They're looking for these people who claim that they've come to the Lord and their names on the book of life, but they're not his people. And they're people that are the people that are cursed and people that are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. So I personally don't see anybody standing before that judgment seat that is an Israelite or even, I don't even know about an Adamite. I know that Paul said in one place, he said the first Adam brought death to all and the second Adam brought life to all. So what does that mean? I don't know. I think that means that he brought resurrection back to the Adamite race. But again, I'm still studying, and Mike, I'm open. I can be taught. So if you know something,
well, certainly
I don't know.
All of us who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world, we're eventually going to reach that salvation by divine election. But I'd like to ask you how you deal with a couple of verses here. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. And then, of course, we're all familiar with John 3:16, probably the most popular verse in the Bible. But John 3:15 says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You go down to John 3:18, it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And there's other verses over in Thessalonians that talks about being punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of God. And it appears to me that these verses are written to Israelites. How would you deal with those?
Well, again, you may be very right, and I'll have to admit for the last 15 years, I've not really studied that section of the scriptures like I did before as a Baptist. But I believe that much of the alleged destruction or condemnation and so forth has to do with this life more than with eternal life. And true, I know that I've read Pastor Gaiman's book. He has a book out that he believes that he believes there's a hell that there may be Israelites to go to. I have a problem with that, but
He used to have a problem himself. I have some old sermons.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, to be honest with you, it's a subject that I should study more, and I need more information on. I just find it very hard in my heart to understand if the Lord God gave himself and paid such a price to redeem his Adamite and Israelite people that he would at the same time allow some of them who have the spirit capacity to go into a place like that. Of course, I believe my position on hell, those who go there are not going to burn forever, but they're just going to be destroyed. I can't see a loving God holding people in the fire for millions of years and letting them somehow or another suffer that alive.
Well, I agree 100%. We do have a sermon that I put together from several sermons on hell. If people would like to research on our archive page, just put in hell. And I've come to the conclusion that hell is actually the Shekinah glory of our God. And that when we go into the kingdom, we're going to go in clean and pure, and we want that hellfire to burn out the iniquity within us.
Right.
So I think it's a good thing. And now I take the position that there is an eternal destruction, but an everlasting destruction, as says over in Thessalonians. But I don't think it's going to be burning forever and ever. That's a pagan.
Yeah,
I think it's
the
Shekinah glory of God burning the iniquity out of us, although some people, you know, have a lot of iniquity in our race.
Right.
And certainly we're saved by grace, but judged by works. And
I think there's a lot of people that we may believe are part of our race that are so wicked and done so many things, and we say, how can they be saved, or how can they go to heaven, or whatever. That the truth is, we may not know what their true bloodline is. We may not know if they've actually been a part of some cursed seed line that caused them to take a turn to the wicked side. And I think we're going to be surprised on that. And there are a lot of people, but I read that verse, that passage where the Lord said that at that day you will knock at the door and you'll say, let us in, and he'll say, I never knew you. I think there's going to be a lot of people in that segment, but I think I'm not sure they're Israelites. When I think about the guy in Houston, Texas, that's He got this big church, and he's blasphemous in the pulpit, as far as I'm concerned. Made $40 million and so forth. I have a hard time seeing him as an Israelite. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree with you. You touched on something earlier, that the bride of Christ and the body of Christ are two different things. They're both Christian,
yes,
Israelites, but the body are those who are working under his headship. They know the laws of the kingdom, and they know who the people of the kingdom are and who the king is, of course. And they're the different parts of the body working under his headship, whereas the bride, they're Christian Israelites. They have their salvation through grace, but they're not actually the body, they're the bride.
Right.
That's all most of these churches ask for, the denominational churches, is salvation. Well, by grace, they have their salvation, but they're not really fit to rule and reign with him as kings and priests.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. The kingdom at large includes all of whatever body of Israelites God takes into the kingdom is a large number. But the smaller number is the bride, and the smaller number than that is the body, I think. That's my position. Rather than one smaller than the other, I can't prove or disprove, but they're a different body of people. The bride, you're exactly right, the bride and the body are not the same. The bride is who he's married to, and he's married to Israelites who have come in, like you say, and have a salvation, but the body are those that are going to sit with him on the throne. That's the way I see it.
Well, I agree completely. I think we both agree completely that our people need to clean up their act. And in fact, it's the only way that they can witness to the others. You hear the word hypocrisy a lot from the world. Well, that's true.
Yes. Well, you know, I think I have some friends that basically have charismatic backgrounds, and they're still Israelites. They believe the Israelite message, and they've come a long ways. But some of them think they take the word prophecy to be able to tell the future. But in the New Testament, prophecy, the gift of prophecy, was primarily the gift of proclaiming the gospel and proclaiming the laws of God, teaching. And it was not necessarily always telling the future. And so we've got these churches with a lot of people, especially women, who get up in the service and they're going to prophesy. And I don't know. I have a real problem with that. I have a hard time accepting their definition of what prophecy is. I think it's different.
Well, I've worshipped a lot with Pentecostals, and I do like their singing and praise.
Oh, they're great people. I love them.
But I've said that I believe a lot of what goes on, even though the principle is correct, a lot of what goes on within their churches is about 5% of God, 5% of the devil, and about 90% of their own emotions.
Yeah, well, you probably got that pretty good. Yeah, that's a good analysis. I know, I don't know if you ever knew John R. Rice from down in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. He was a Baptist, but he was preaching at a Pentecostal meeting one night, and they got carried away, and they weren't paying any attention, and he couldn't talk. He just slipped out and went to the motel. After about an hour, they came looking for him to figure out where he went. He said, well, you know, used to me being there to preach when nobody's listening. And I think that's, Baptists are bad. They may not be talking in tongues, and they may not be carrying on, but they don't listen either. We were in a church not too long ago, visiting a church, and a woman and her son were sitting on the back pew with their telephones, and during the whole sermon they were texting on their phones to people all over the wherever they were, and they weren't listening to anything. So it's not just the Pentecostals, it's all of them. So, but we need to have people who want to cry out to God. We need people who are burdened about America and burdened about the people of God and burdened about the church. And, you know, they used to have people who wept and prayed, and they had great revivals. And I think God would send a revival again if we had people who were burdened for it.
Well, they need to be seeking him Scripture says that where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Well, I think that goes beyond money. Where your time is, there is your heart. And a lot of people put very little time into seeking Him, but they put in a lot of time watching the TV and doing the various worldly entertainments.
Right. Absolutely. I wish people were more torn in their hearts to seek the Lord and to seek the truth. And, you know, right now, this might be something that you may want to deal with at some point. It's not probably not tonight. We don't have enough time. But this new 5G program that's coming out is really a dangerous thing, and it's probably going to kill a lot of people, and especially got a lot of God's people, unless something is done. I've got people pressing me right now to put together a court of divine justice against it. And you're one of the preachers I'm going to be writing about it and talking to, it's a serious matter. It's come up in our Bible studies now for a couple of 3 weeks, and people are really burdened about it. And that to me is a good sign that there is some concern. And the enemy, there are several foreign countries that are outlawing this stuff. And if they do it here with the telephones, the cell phones, and the TVs, and all of this kind of thing, they're saying within 30 to 90 days, we'll see people start to drop dead because it's a microwaving of the brain and a microwaving of the organs of the body. And so this is something maybe we need to think about. But we're in that crutch of time. God is doing some things, Brother Mike. And we've had some unusual things happen in our groups. God has brought forth some unusual people with unusual gifts of opportunity for us. And we're looking at some very unique things that I've never seen happen in the ministry before. And so God is moving. And I've got more people waking. We get more contacts every week off our websites and off of our contact points than we've ever had. And so God is moving, and I think that's because the enemy is moving. I think the enemy is, right now they're trying to convince us that they're changing things for the better, but they may very well be trying to make it for the last kill. You know, in Revelation chapter 20, it says that they would surround the holy city. That's us. And they would try to obliterate us, and only with God's help are we going to be able to stand. So,
I believe there's a greater persecution coming, but there's also a greater manifestation of the saints at this time.
Yes,
and one of the methods that they're using apparently is this new red flag law, like the old Soviet Union, where they called people insane if they disagreed with the establishment. And they're really pushing these red flag laws where they'll not only disarm the people, but perhaps throw them into mental institutions and stuff.
We all wonder who's pushing this. We don't know if it's President Trump or if it's the Democrats or whatever. It's all so unknown. And that's what's scary about it is we think people are our friends. And at the same time, they may be our enemies. And so we really, really need to be walking with the Lord, and we need to be very close to the Lord. We need to be obedient to the Lord, and we need to be crying out to the Lord in these days for His protection. And He can protect us, and He will. I believe the Lord will protect us. But I believe there may be some mayhem and some very much destruction before He intervenes, you know. So these are things that I'm praying about, and I'm going to be contacting several pastors about if we should do anything. My first reaction was I didn't want to do anything, but then it's coming from various sources now for me to act, and I'm having to at least pray about it. So I would ask people to pray with me about it, what we should do about it.
We have a caller from Rochester, New York. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening. I just turned the show on 15 minutes ago, and I know this is Mike, right, Pastor Mike, but I don't know the guest's name.
Pastor Everett Ramsey.
Yes, Pastor Ramsey and Mike. I want to ask you a question about, we're talking about the Israelites. Romans 9:25, you'll see in there where Paul's talking about, where Yahweh was talking about his people at one time they were not his people, now he's calling his people. Does that mean when he was angry with them?
Well, it means
there, he was calling Israelites not his people because he was upset because they weren't doing what he's told them to do.
In Hosea, that's a quote right out of Hosea. Hosea was a prophet to Israel, and he told them that they would be taken into captivity up into Assyria, and that they would no longer be God's covenant people. And that changed when Jesus died on the cross, and they came back into the covenant. So that's what he's talking about. And you're right.
Okay.
It was when he had divorced them and put them away.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. And it was nice meeting you, Pastor Ramsey. And good night,
Pastor Mike. God bless you.
Thank you for your call. Well, we just got another caller from Ord, Nebraska. You're on the air.
Earlier, you were speaking of the poor quality of the churches. So if there's someone in an area that has no good church to go to, should they continue to go to a church, or just hop around to different churches, or not, or what should they do?
Well, I'll give you my thoughts. Mike may have some different thoughts on it. We've been in that position. I've been in that position. So I sympathize with you. First of all is we need fellowship. We will waste away if we don't have people we can fellowship with who have common beliefs. And if the churches don't have any common beliefs that we have, or they don't tolerate us to share our common beliefs, then it makes it difficult for us to fellowship with them. Right now, most of the people who are in our message, in the message of the gospel of the kingdom, who understand this message, understand these truths, most of them are not in the regular churches. They've pulled away. But they have one or two families, or they have one or two people where they can go fellowship at least once a month or so. For instance, right now, we're getting ready to have a conference in Tulsa. Some people will go to that. Then there will be a conference in Wisconsin, and then some will go to that. We'll have conferences in Kansas. And so people find places to go, and that's why we have people on our mailing list to try to tell them where they can go and fellowship with people of like mind. And, brother, we pray for you. We love you, and we wish that we could solve the problem, but it just doesn't happen that way. But you will be uncomfortable in the churches if you keep going and you really believe the truth. So it's something you'll have to decide.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your call. Pastor Ramsey, why don't you give out some contact information so people can contact you?
All right. The easiest way in the world to contact me is to go to my website. And it's a very easy website. It's just EverettRamseyDD.com. And on every page in that website, you can fill out a form and send me a question, ask for a book, do whatever you need to do. I have some books on there that to ask for a donation, but if you can't make a donation, ask me anyway. I'll send it to you if I can. So go to my website, EverettRamseyDD.com. And the second place is to go to GodsCovenantPeople.com. That will take you to YouTube and my channel on YouTube. That's called GodsCovenantPeople.com. If you want to call me, my number is 417-967-2011. 417-967-2011. And if we're not here, we have an answering machine. Please speak up and leave plainly your name and address, phone number, whatever, how we can get a hold of you, and we'll get back with you. But we want to try to help people wherever they are, and we'll try to answer their questions, and we'll try to send them material that they can enjoy.
We have about a minute left. Do you have any closing thoughts?
Well, I'm always have too many thoughts. That's the problem. Thank you, Mike. You've always been very helpful to us, and we appreciate your lifelong service in the Lord down there, and you've fought a lot of struggles, and we pray for you. We trust the Lord will bless you, and we ask people just to keep serving the Lord, keep trusting the Lord, and keep praying for his protection and guidance in these days.
Well, thank you for being on the program tonight. It's always both interesting and informative. And may Yahweh bless you and bless our audience. But it's
all
time
right,
that we close the broadcast.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.